Ahoy, Vachon. How's the French say, Vachon? This is the Brown Briefly, where less is more, more or less, coming to you live over KVSH 101.9 FM, Voice of Vachon, your island connection. Please make us part of your day. And be advised that our assertions and views, which can modestly be described as progressive persuasion, do not in any way reflect the opinions of KVSH or Voice of Vachon.
Happy New Year's again, friends. Coming to you live from Vachon Island, Washington. This is the Brown Briefly podcast and weekly radio show, radiating from the Beehive of Cultural Awareness, the Jean Bosch Voice of Vachon storefront broadcast studio in the bustling and bodacious heart of our pastoral island community. That was the voice of our founder, Brian Brown. Together, we, the Brieflies, strive to keep Brian's brilliant flame alive by bringing you weekly episodes of intelligent discussion of current events laced with humor and empathy, and always guided by Brian's mantra of less is more, more or less. Our Briefly panel includes our control board and real-life retired airline captain, Vachon Airport Commissioner, treetop flyer, and longest-serving Briefly on the face of the earth, Truman O'Brien. How are you, Truman?
Good morning. Good morning. Yeah, I had a little technical difficulty on my earlier show this morning and finally got it all ironed out, but boy, it was testing my patience.
This had morning. To use the red button.
I had to use the big red button. Right. I did.
That's a rare event.
Yeah.
When in doubt, reboot.
Reboot. That was it. That's what happened.
We also have historian, professor, Southern Hemispheric aficionado, and guardian of the galaxy, Bruce Holman. Hi, Bruce.
Hey, it's good to be here. And it's interesting, Southern Hemisphere. If you were able to see both Auckland and Sydney had spectacular fireworks displays from their bridges because it's already New Year's down there.
Sydney was over the top.
It is every year. It's just amazing.
We have part-time political, water transit miracle worker, and full-time shenanigans coordinator on Zoom today, Amy Dreher.
Hello. Good morning.
Good morning to you, Amy. We also have mariner, backpacker, and rarely catches a crab, beginning Vachon Island Rowing Club member, Kevin Jones.
That is a rare crabbing event out there these days, fortunately, about a year into the rowing. But
It's still possible. It happens to the best of them, I understand.
That is true. That's very true.
Oh, and that oar doesn't quite work the way it's supposed to.
Yes.
I thought you were talking about Dungeness crab.
No.
Because the state opened Dungeness crab in Quartermaster Harbor for the month of December, which is really unusual.
And there were a lot of people down there around Christmas.
Oh, yeah. Right. Yep. One of our buddies, Craig, has just been knocking them out. Yeah. Man.
Wow. Yeah.
So there's crabs and then there's crabs.
That's
probably
true.
Crabs on top of that, right?
That's it, indeed.
That's true. I'm Craig Bellis, a Christmas tree salesman, 747 guard, former constitutional law professor, and half-bright scholar. And our guest today, again, this is hopefully becoming an annual thing, Alex, is Alex Bruel, editor of the Vachon Maury Island Beachcomber. How are you doing, Alex?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on today.
Glad you were able to get away from the busy deadline schedules that you have over there at the Beachcomber, especially this time of year. Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, I appreciate the fact that your hair's not on fire this morning.
There's not really much there.
I was going to mention that, but I thought I'd let that go.
That's part of the. That's why I shave it.
Good idea. Yeah. Good idea.
We normally check with everybody, and we're going to do that again to see what, if anything, exciting or memorable happened to them this past weekend or this last week. Excuse me, Truman. How about you?
But I shared an experience with you, Craig. We attended a good friend's little open house on Christmas Eve. It was very nice. A bunch of old-time Islanders there. And
Go ahead and mention his name.
Well, it was Joe Ulatowski, General Joe. And General is 98 now?
I think that's right.
He's 98. Very, very lovely evening. I really appreciated that.
It was. Mm-hmm. And that punch was killer.
Ooh, man, was it killer. Boy, a couple of glasses of that stuff.
Or three or four.
Yeah.
Bruce?
Well, it's a busy week, of course, with Christmas and grandkids and electric trains and all that kind of stuff. But on Sunday, we did the Christmas bird count on Vashona, which this is actually the 25th year I've done that, taking out the Christmas bird count people and doing a count of birds on Quartermaster Harbor. And they counted like 26 more varieties this year than they did last year, which is really fascinating.
That's 26 varieties
I
more?
I think so, yeah.
Wow.
Species, yeah.
Yeah,
right.
That's what I mean.
Very good.
Yeah,
news.
So really interesting. And then, of course, this morning it was fascinating. It woke up, look out over Tramp Harbor and Maury Island, and it was just a brilliant, clear sunrise morning. And then about 8:15, the fog came in, and it just sort of like, it just magically appears. It's fog is such a weird kind of phenomena, and if you've ever been caught in fog, and Truman, I'm sure you've flown a lot
of
fog.
I have a few stories.
It's very strange. Yeah. I mean, you feel very disoriented, so it was fascinating.
Or
to
being
see
a fog.
Being in a fog.
Being in a fog.
Trying to get out of it quickly and getting on the ground.
I tell you one real quick story. Sitting on the runway at San Francisco International, the fog was coming in off the ocean, and there's that ridge line that's just on the other side of the San Andreas Fault, actually. The fog was flowing over the mountains, down the valleys. It was a weird...
Like a tidal wave.
Yeah, was really... It was just cool. I couldn't believe it.
Yep. Yeah. Amy, how about you this last week? You've been busy?
Slightly busy. Also enjoying the Christmas holiday season here in Denver, which is great. And everyone's always jealous when I say, yeah, it's been between, mid-40s to mid-60s and sunny and clear. And, but the other side of that is that it's dry as a bone. Mm-hmm. And my sinuses alternate between just a desert of pain and a Sig Alert level of congestion. So... I've been fighting that back a little bit, but I got to go to some lights, and I guess the big news in my world has been the the appointment of Senator Wynn to the Commerce Department, in the new administration, and that has definitely hit the boggle board for the political landscape for Vashon. So, kind of been thinking about that, and we'll have lots of interesting stuff coming up.
Oh, we're keeping our eye on Joanne. That's great.
Yeah.
Kevin.
Yes, keeping our eye on Joe Wynn and who's going to move into his seat, so it should be quite entertaining. Speaking of fog, I had the good pleasure to see a fog waterfall years ago from Dodwell-Rixon Pass, which is at the very head of the Elwha River. It's headwaters.
Quite the sight,
yeah, it was pretty fascinating. But today, the fog, we were rowing at sunrise, and so we started it, got to the boathouse at 8. And so we were dodging fog out there. We didn't completely avoid it. But the flat water three or four quads were out and a couple and a double. And just spectacular New Year's Eve rowing out there in Quartermaster. Also, you heard me talk about in the past taking some trees down on our property because they were going to, halfway dead or big cavities at the base. So I finally gotten through the milling process for that. So I have about a cubic yard of wood shavings or two cubic yards of wood shavings if anybody needs them. But the fascination of actually creating wood from logs and sequestering carbon here is awesome. But the other thing, it's just been really nice to have time at home with not a whole lot on the calendar. So just able to sort of check in with things around the home front, spend some time with Susie, and it's been a real pleasure. So it's been a great week.
That is one of the great things about this part of the year for many people, is just be able to relax a little bit. I have to say, though, my wife Lynette and I have not had the opportunity to relax much. It's been a first world problem. Actually, it's a wonderful problem between General Joe's gathering that he put together and dinner with our friends over in Port Orchard, who used to own a Sicilian restaurant, and they put together a meal to die for that they invited us over for, and then we went to Mays with with you, Truman, and Mary, mm-hmm. your wife.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was great.
And then a few other ones sprinkled in between there. So and tonight it's Bowie Rex, to dance our derrieres off, as they say. So it's great. Alex, did you have quite a week?
Yeah, I celebrated Chrismica last week and continue to celebrate the Mica part. I spoke to Joe Wynn over the weekend. We'll have some thoughts from him about his leaving this role and what's next in this week's paper. Otherwise, we put a paper out every week, so that's what we do, and that's what I've been up to. Saw Nosferatu on Christmas Day.
Well, what did you think?
Great movie.
Okay.
The last half got a little action-y for me. I won't spoil any more than that. But I loved it. I thought it was very good.
I saw the original.
I was going to say, isn't that the 1934 or whatever it was?
That was about 110 years ago or something. Yeah, that does look like a heck of a movie.
Great cinematography. It's a really beautiful movie.
Oh.
And beautifully disgusting, too, as you would hope a Dracula film should be.
Yeah. All right. With that, let's take a look at today. Today is, as everyone knows, December 31st. It's National Make Up Your Mind Day. Okay? It's also, very appropriately, Champagne Day, which, of course, they only make in France, except for one winery in California. Does anybody know who is authorized to make champagne in the United States?
No.
Corbel.
Oh, yeah.
Because they've been making it for so long. Mm-hmm. Here's a little trivia for you today. It's No Interruptions Day.
Oh, and
Day.
Hey, by the way.
Sorry, I was waiting on that one.
You were just, I know. You were
I ready, was waiting for it.
Ready to launch. Truman jumped on No Interruptions Day, which is what the day is as well.
That offside foul is every 10
exactly,
yards.
Exactly.
That's right, yeah.
Got a yellow flag.
It's Unlucky Day. I'm not sure. I'm not sure what that means. Mm. So let's stay away from that.
Yeah, I don't want to find out.
No.
And then World Peace Meditation Day is today. Today in history, in 1783, the import of African slaves was banned by all northern U.S. states. And that was 78 years before the Civil War began. I find that just fascinating.
That is absolutely fascinating.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Yeah. In 1904, the first New Year's Eve celebration was held in Times Square in New York City. And a few years later, in 1907, the first time ball dropped in Times Square. And if you look that up, you'll see the history of what those are made of, iron and glass, and they weigh hundreds and hundreds of pounds. And, I think that same year they put lights in when they first put it up, too. There were lights in that ball in 1907. In 1923, I thought this was appropriate for us, the first transatlantic radio broadcast of a voice from Pittsburgh to Manchester, England. And as we know, it's a lot easier today. People listen to us all over the world live right now via the internet, which is no small miracle. And then in 1924, a year later, and I thought this was kind of timely as well, 100 years ago today, Italian fascist Benito Mussolini orders the suppression of all opposition newspapers.
Boo.
Sorry, we're getting lots of boos around here, especially from
Alex.
The more I hear about this Mussolini guy, the less I like
him. Yeah, I know.
There's a lot not to like.
He's a bad dude. Yeah. No question about it.
He did have a great chin, though, right?
Yeah.
He showed it off a lot, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, so to somebody else. I know.
And I can't imagine who that is. I'm looking ahead here to a couple of events that Kevin had on his schedule last week in the show. We're 18 days away from the women's, or as they're calling it now, sort of the women's-sponsored People's March in Cal Anderson Park. They gather at 8 o'clock in the morning, and the march is at 11. And then we're 20 days from Martin Luther King Day. This year's theme is Mission Possible, Protecting Freedom, Justice, and Democracy in the Spirit of Nonviolence 365. And there's also another event that occurs on January 20th, which we, you know, might... Well, you go ahead.
No, you first.
And no, then, I was just going to say, I think some of you might recognize the fact that that's also the day that we have an inauguration.
Is that when Elon Musk is going to take power?
That's right. Formally. Yeah.
Well, I didn't want to interrupt, but
go ahead.
But in 1907,
well, it is Interruption Day.
Yeah,
or no Interruption Day.
That ball in 1907, was it like candlelight, or did they have like
no? It was electrical. It's
like they went. I mean, somehow you got to, you know, as the ball drops, you got to get the wiring.
I think Tesla was in there.
Okay, good.
Not
enough.
A Tesla, but
early Tesla.
The Tesla.
Oh, the Tesla.
Mr. Tesla.
The original.
That's right. Nikolai.
That's right.
That's
the one. As we call him.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see here. Okay, let's get to our guest today, Alex Bruel, editor again of the Beachcomber. And we welcome you back to the Voice of Vashon. It's always great to have you. You put together a heck of a newspaper that came out last week. That discusses all sorts of events over the last year, and we will get to that in just a moment. But I have to compliment you on that newspaper and the work that went into it. But
well,
before that, I wanted you to reintroduce yourself to our listeners who do not really know much about you, except now they know you're the editor of the Beachcomber. Tell us a little bit about your background and what motivated you to get to Vashon Island.
Absolutely. The little anecdote I like to tell, I grew up in a home near the Dash Point neighborhood of Federal Way. So if you know that area, you know it's close to the water. And outside the window of my childhood bedroom, I had a direct view to Maury Island. So
no.
I wasn't born or raised on Vashon, but about as close as you could be. I had a visual connection. I went to the University of Washington where I studied journalism, prior to coming here, spent about 6 years working at newspapers across the state, primarily Longview and then Enumclaw and Federal Way. And then most recently, I was asked if I wanted to take on the editor role here so that our former editor, current reporter Liz Shepard, could sort of take some time off from being the sole news person at the paper. And so that's what I did, and that was... about 16 months ago, is fall of 23. So
you're working on almost a year and a half on the island.
Yeah, we're approaching a year and a half.
Right. Okay. Because we're going to ask you about that in a little while, what your impressions are.
So, Alex, tell our listeners a story you told us about the article at the skating rink. I think that's delightful.
Oh, sure. So if you are familiar with Federal Way, you're probably familiar with what is now the El Centro skate rink, formerly Pattison's West, famous roller skating rink, kind of the home and training grounds of skaters like J.R. Selsky. I, like many Federal Way kids, was going there many times a year for birthday parties, for hanging out after school. Just a great place. And so I have a lot of childhood memories. And then coming back there as a young adult early in my career, I ended up writing a story about El Centro, buying the rink. And then recently I was back there and I noticed that article was framed in the kind of manager's office of the rink. And, you know, that was really special because I had childhood associations of this place. I loved it as a place nostalgically, but then there was some pride I felt as an adult knowing like, oh, I now kind of have a place in the history of this place. So that was kind of, that was nice.
I think that's awesome, to tell you the truth.
That is awesome. Before I turn this over to Bruce, what was your major at the UW?
I was a dual major in journalism and philosophy. So I was really committed to not making money or doing anything particularly useful.
My daughter was in English literature, poetry, and creative writing.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, she'd be right there with you.
Okay.
Although she's done nicely. Bruce, did you want to follow up?
Yeah, I did.
Up?
So Alex, I was very impressed with this issue of the Beachcomber, and it's sort of, you know, as a historian, I've looked through the past newspapers a number of times. Sometimes I feel like I live in the old newspapers on Vashon, but it's a great insight to what the island was, and for years, beginning with the News Record and then with the Beachcomber when it became the island paper, at the end of the year, they would always do a review of the year. And then in the late 90s, they sort of dropped doing that. and so I was really pleased to see you come back as editor and start to do that again. And so I really have sort of two questions. One is, as a historian, there's always that debate of, do you approach history thematically or topically, or do you approach it chronologically? And I found it interesting that in your sort of review of the island news, you did it topically or thematically, and Liz, in doing the arts review, did it chronologically. So, sort of, what went on in sort of making that choice? And then, after that question, the follow up will be sort of like, what do you see as the most significant? I mean, you've got a whole list of articles, and they're all fascinating and they're all important. But what do you see as the most significant of those?
Yeah, great questions. First, a clarification. The arts piece was entirely Liz, but the news year in review was both of us. So the basic division of labor was anything that she wrote, she summarized. Anything that I wrote, I summarized. To answer your question, I you know, partially just to mix things up, to keep it interesting, do one of them in a topical sense, do one of them in a chronological sense. I do think the chronological approach fits arts coverage better because arts are a more inherently subjective field. So trying to present it as a list of the most important or ranked in some way doesn't really feel true to the experience people have. Different people respond to different arts in different ways. So I think instead we said, well, let's just pick something from each month, take people through, you know, the this year in arts rather than try to judge which one was more important. And then conversely, I think for the news section, it was a little easier to sort of say this story really was the most important. This one, you know, in our list of 11 stories, they were all really crucial to the island. But we basically went, you know, what we felt like were the most impactful in the beginning. And so to answer your question, I think the biggest story in the island this year has just been the healthcare story in general, which is kind of a cloud of really three different stories that I think all felt connected, and that's just expansion of care. We saw MIH launch at Vashon Island Fire and Rescue. That's the mobile integrated healthcare program. We saw the healthcare district launch their dispatch health efforts, and then we saw Vashon Pharmacy kind of greatly expand their facilities. And each one of those on its own would have been a story in our top 11. And so I think I described it as a flowering of options. I think a lot of these things have sort of been in the efforts for a few years, and obviously these will continue to generate stories into the new year. And then the other two big ones coming after those, obviously the comprehensive plan, which I think drained the last vestiges of sanity from anyone who had to. If you didn't interact with the comprehensive plan much, it's kind of hard to explain. But if you ever felt like you had to write a 20-page essay and you had 3 days to do it, it's sort of like that, except the essay is 700 pages long, and it's really unclear even sometimes what it's saying. So it's just a huge story, and it. It touched so many different things on the island, and I felt like our main role with it was just, let's just at a basic level try to explain what's in it, and if we can do that much, that's you know, I don't know if we have the brain power to do much more, because it was so, I mean, we, you know, you could have had one reporter covering that and it would have been a full-time job. Mm-hmm. And then really, I mean, there was a ton of fire department news. So we even broke that out further into its own category. I mean, obviously, most recently, Chief Matt Vincey announced that he's leaving for a new role in Spokane. But you just had a ton of developments at the department this year. You had one station reopen. There's another undergoing renovations. You had new firefighters coming on. You had new equipment coming on. So just a lot of changes happening very rapidly.
You know, when I was looking at that newspaper when it came out last week, obviously you just touched on three. You've got many, many stories in the newspaper. So if you've been living as a hermit on Vashon for the last year, you really can get a summary of what's been going on in multiple areas of interest on this island by picking up a copy or this is a sales pitch. I wasn't asked to do this, or subscribing online to the online version. Amy, do you have a question?
Yeah, no, I'm so excited. I you know, we're not allowed to have favorite guests, but I feel like, you know, when Rachel has Hillary on, just like, you know, there's like just the excitement, and I could ask questions, I think, for an hour or two. But I kind of had two different pieces of a question, and kind of has to do with, you know, I think quality local journalism sort of holds together the last threads of our democracy in many ways, right? It is sort of one of the only ways that many people connect with local government. And I wanted to kind of come at that. The Beachcomber won numerous awards this year, very justly deserved. And I wonder if you can sort of, I have a follow-up, but I wonder if you can kind of talk about, you know, what that body of awards is, why it's given out, and, you know, why it's important, why it matters, why a body like that matters.
Yeah, absolutely. There are two award circuits that we sort of generally compete in. There's the Washington Newspaper Publishers Association, which is what it sounds like. It's primarily medium and small-sized newspapers from across the state. And then there's the Society of Professional Journalists. I should just mention that I'm the president of the Western Washington branch of SPJ, so we don't judge our own. Arizona judged ours this year, so it's a different states judge different states, but... and then in that's the Best of the Northwest contest. So in that one, we compete against Alaska, Oregon, Idaho. So that one is a little more competitive, generally, I wouldn't say more prestigious, but it's harder to place in that one because the pool of competitors is much higher. You know, awards, obviously, I think they play a lot of value. I think for early career journalists, awards are really valuable because it's a confidence booster, and it says, even if you feel like you're an imposter, here's some tangible evidence you're doing something right. I think for later career journalists, it's a validation of the work that you're putting in that can sometimes feel thankless. Do you want me to go through? I think you asked go through some of the ones that we've got here.
Yeah, and you know, a couple of them I think were around important stories, right?
Yeah.
Really, really stories that affect what it means to live on the island.
Yeah, totally. Liz won the vast majority of them. So on the SBJ circuit, she got a second place award for editorial writing on the Orcas. What was the name of the editorial? It was Dig Deeper when talking about orcas. And it was sort of asking people to consider the relationship to these animals and not view them just as these, you know, amazing, beautiful creatures, which they are, but to, you know, again, it was sort of a message to both the public, but I think even more so to other journalists and the way that we think and write about them. She also won second place editorial writing in the WNPA for that same piece. And then the most prestigious award she won was in the WNPA. It was a first place prize for News Writer of the Year. So obviously extraordinarily proud of her for that. Mm-hmm. That's kind of the big one. You know, it's pretty awesome to say that we have on our staff the News Writer of the Year in Washington State for 24 or 23. She won, what other first place did she get? She got first place for investigative reporting, comprehensive coverage, social issues, personality profiles, and then a third place for crime in courts. And that kind of runs the gamut of her reporting. Had to do with former educators at the Vashon Island School District, changes going on at Vashon Island Fire and Rescue, Seattle Indian Health Board, ferries. I mean, basically anything you can think of on the island that was big news that people have opinions on. You know, she was covering it and really did a fantastic job doing that. So those were all the Vashon specific awards. I earned some for my work at Federal Way, but just based on the timing of the contest, none of my work on Vashon was really eligible or relevant for last year's awards.
Just so that we're clear, the Liz we're talking about is Liz Shepherd.
That's correct. Okay. Yes, thank you. So yeah, very proud. I mean, she, you know, she ran the field. I mean, just did incredibly well, and I very deservedly so.
Mm-hmm. And kind of a follow up to that, you know, you talked about the comp plan, obviously, and I think that's, you know, some of the hardest journalism to cover, right? It's like Foucault, if he were an engineer and, you know, was also drawing out cities. I mean, it's so obscure and it's so, you know, opaque. What, you know, when you're thinking about what you're going to write, how do you sort of decide among your stories, right? There's so much to cover on Vashon and so much of it is integral to our lives. How do you piece together what you think is most important for the Beachcomber to cover?
Yeah, it's triaging. I mean, there's always far more for us to do than we possibly could. I could have three more reporters on staff and we would still have stories that would be going uncovered. And so at any given time, you're making the decision, what's really important, what's really urgent. You know, there are really important stories we need to tell that we have to take our time on, because maybe that urgency isn't there, or maybe it's so complicated and sensitive that, you know, we're not just going to rush something out the door. And then occasionally there's event coverage that, has to happen and it wouldn't be relevant a week later, but you're always basically saying, you know, what really needs to be told this week, what can wait for next week. And that's the only way to survive, I think. Mm-hmm.
Kevin.
Yeah, I'd like to do a little follow-on to sort of the industry before going into your observations about us, the community we're in here. Yeah, I think you have an intern or maybe two interns. I see a lot of names in the paper. The folks, of course, you've talked about who are the officially on board, you know, award-winning and so on. What's your sense of where journalism is and how do you draw people in to that work? And what are the rewards of being part of it?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so just to kind of sketch out the structure, I'm the editor. Liz is our reporter on the editorial news writing side. And then we have, I would say, kind of four contributors who are really a big part of helping us fill the paper. So Eric Prine and Leslie Brown are two kind of legendary veteran journalists who live out here. And you'll frequently see their names on sort of complicated, big, thorny island topics. Both are just really, I can't sing their praises enough. And then, yeah, we had an intern in the fall, Aspen Anderson. Her internship has wrapped up, but she is still freelancing for us, as is our other freelancer, Mari Kanegi. And so they are both UW students, recently graduated or in the process of graduating, both very, very talented, both reached out to we didn't reach out to them. They came to us and said, you know, we want to get experience in writing clips. And Mari grew up and lives on the island. Aspen went to school here. So they have a connection and an understanding of it that, you know, even I don't have. And I'm inspired by their work. They both have put out, both of them have put out really big comprehensive stories in the paper. So that gives me obviously like a huge amount of inspiration and hope for the future, because I see people younger than me who are sort of bold or foolish enough to want to do newspaper writing. You know, where the industry goes from here, I think how much time you got to talk about that. But I think broadly speaking, it's not a secret that the profit model is changing. It's moving away from print. Vashon is an anomaly because of our older population and being a retired, more educated population. We're going to hang on to print longer, but we won't forever, I think. And so you're going to see a move to digital. I think you're going to see a proliferation of smaller community-based sort of independent people who are talented, independent writers kind of starting up their own blogs and delivering news that way. I think you'll see Facebook groups becoming more and more a source of information, and that scares some people. I think it's better to embrace these things and try to guide them in a healthy direction rather than be afraid of them. So I'm a big fan of, I think we should put training programs out for people on Facebook. Mm-hmm. So if you want to do the news, great. Let's show you how to do the news. So new technology, new directions, but you know, I think we're moving away from this model slowly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thanks for your insights on that. I was intrigued by a fundraiser several years ago that I came across where it was donate to this group and they would fund half of a reporter's salary in cities that were struggling to have an independent news.
That might be Report for America you're thinking of, or a similar.
I don't recall the name of the group, but yeah, I thought it was a fantastic concept to keep the work that you do alive, you know, and it's so important.
So you mentioned Aspen as one of your interns. You know, she is going on to another internship, I think it's with Cairo or one of the big stations. And in the interim, she's doing a stint with Voice of Ashon.
Oh, that's great.
Awesome. Yeah, I got to meet her the other day. Well, very, very dynamic young woman.
Yeah, really smart.
Anyway, just wanted to put a plug out there for her.
Fantastic. Well, so 18 months now, or going on a year and a half? So
14, 15, 16, yeah.
Okay. So you've had a good opportunity to sort of get your feet wet in the community of Vashon-Morey Island. And what are your impressions? You've worked around, you're a native of the state of Washington. You've worked in different parts of the state. What do you see about our community that really sort of stands out in your mind and maybe has some unique attributes?
And just remember, there are 7 words you can't use on the radio.
Very good, good point.
All right. What are those again?
They're written down here somewhere. Yeah, that's a safety valve. Yeah.
So the analogy that has developed in my mind, it's the 10 times rule that I kind of use when I think of Vashon. So I've lived and worked in communities that have roughly 10 times the population of Vashon. Mm-hmm. And I've covered city council meetings in those communities, and I've covered community council meetings here. And in general, the public meetings and the public input here, I see about as many people at meetings here as I do in cities with 10 times the population. And so based on that extremely scientific and technical math, I deduce that we are roughly an order of magnitude more involved in our community than others. And I think the reasons for that are not particularly surprising. Again, very retiree, highly educated community. You know, we're the opposite of a suburb, right? We're the opposite of a commuter city. You know, people, this is a chosen community. People live here despite challenges, despite very real obstacles that make it difficult to live here. They continue to live here. So I think that's really inspiring. And what I have seen from that is people in Vashon are really good at advocating for themselves. They're very good at agitating to the government, you know, getting things done behind the scenes. There's a few people here who probably know what I'm talking about, but and in a way that most communities, I think, do not do well, or at least don't have the organizational structure, or, you know, are often made up of communities that are justifiably afraid of getting involved in government and afraid of retribution or just don't have the level of experience and confidence to do some of what we do here. So I think it's great we do it. My hope is that it can be a lesson, or that we can show some of those lessons to other communities that don't have the voice we do, communities that don't get heard in the same way we do. Other than that, I think this place is like a really cool incubator for kind of alternate solutions to problems, for like different kinds of lifestyles, for just all sorts of ways of doing things that are not the norm. I think of organizations like Vashon Household and the Land Trust. I think of Voice of Vashon, frankly. Like these are like really cool things that generally are more codified and I don't know, follow like a really sort of stale formula in a lot of places. And here it's just people who care and do it their own way. And it works better because of that. So that's really inspiring. And then I guess the last thing is just generally, we're obviously politically very liberal. We have sort of a strong leftist minority, and then I would say a conservative wing, which should not be ignored. I think overall people here just care a lot and want to create community. And I think that's cool.
Truman.
Well, that's a perfect segue into what a couple of questions that I have, and both of them have to do with looking forward. The first is, what do you see as maybe the, what would you like to write about in 2025 coming up? I mean, what things would appeal to you and from what you've seen of your background here?
Yeah. I mean, obviously there's a huge list, and I'll kind of ignore, I think, the obvious ones. People know we're going to get to fire department, healthcare district, Seattle Indian Health Board, community council, obviously things that will be news generators, you know, for time to come. Number one, I really want to do kind of a comp plan aftermath. There's still so much from the comprehensive plan that still, now that the dust is settling, you know, the effects are going to continue to happen. So we have to catch up on that. I'm really excited about a story Aspen is working on about alcohol culture on the island and drug culture in general. Anecdotally, that was one of the first things I heard about coming here, was that this is a place that has a higher than average rate of drunk driving, a higher than average rate of youth alcohol use and drug use in general. I think it's a cultural stories like that are hard to write, but I think people would appreciate having some insight into it, and I think it's an important one. And then I love stories about weird artists, and this is such a great place for that. Weird is maybe not the right word, but just kind of offbeat. I wrote about Matt Burskin and his troll costume last year, and I had so much fun writing that. It was so cool to just get pictures of him laying it all out. So if you're like an unusual artist, please reach out to us. We'd love to, you know, that's just, those kinds of stories just put so much light and life into the paper.
The so speaking of that, by the way, Tom Walston has a show on the Voice of Vashon. He's from Vashon Youth and Family Services, and he has to do with recovery, and he talks about drug and alcohol and many other areas that we're all recovering from. My next question about looking forward: what's next for you, Alex? Are you planning on sticking around? Have you got plans to go elsewhere later, perhaps?
I try not to prognosticate too far into the future. I mean, I think I'm doing work that feels important and sometimes stressful, sometimes really rewarding here. All I can say is that work is ongoing, and you know, I'm here and I'm enjoying the work.
We call that creative anxiety.
Yeah.
Is that it? Good.
That's me.
All right. Let me turn slightly to the rest of the brieflies, and Alex, chime in here if you can, if it makes sense to you. I was going to ask my fellow brieflies what their hopes were for 2025. What story would each of you like to read in the Beachcomber if you could? I mean, obviously, we don't want to make up any stories. We don't want alternative. We don't want alternative facts. But I mean, you know, what would you like to see, Kevin?
Well, I know you're going to try to constrain me with the alternative facts thing, but I have two. And one of them, if the Beachcomber were like the National Enquirer, then I would love to read the story where Jimmy Carter actually did not pass away. He's going to move to Vashon and spend his next 10 years building affordable housing.
There you go.
But that's, you know, that's not the in line, right, with what we see in the Beachcomber. But locally, what I hope to see is a story that the community solar bill passes finally in the Washington State Legislature, and Vashon moves into number one, the highest per capita solar density in the nation.
Wow. Yeah, that would be great. Mm-hmm. Talk about an incubator of ideas and a model.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Did you want to jump in on that one?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, you're next up, though.
Oh, well, I have the headline that I would like to see.
Yeah.
Is Truman O'Brien, longtime island resident, wins the $1.2 billion mega ball. there you go.
That reminds me of that old Saturday Night Live routine where who was it? Steve Martin starts out, I'd like all the children to sing together in peace and harmony is my first choice. Yeah. And my second choice is that I win
lot. He goes, well, wait a minute. Well, that's actually my first choice.
That's right.
Truth be told, right?
Yeah. Sorry. I hate to be so personal, but
No.
And I guess I'd want to see an article about how the airport is providing this wonderful emergency service capability here on the island, and more about the work that we're doing out there.
Mm-hmm.
And Alex is taking copious notes.
I can see that. Especially about that winning the lottery. That's
Amy. Go ahead, Kevin.
Well, I was just going to say Alex is undoubtedly going to be able to pull some strings for you.
Exactly.
Yeah,
we'll
see how that works
right.
out.
That's
yeah.
right. Amy, how about you?
Yeah, I have I feel like we're on Wait, Don't Tell Me, you know, at the end when they have upcoming headlines. I have a two-part. One is that the Beachcomber wins either a grant or, you know, some sort of angel investor adds another full-time reporter to the staff. And with that capacity, that added capacity, I'd love to see some long-form journalism, maybe like a multi-part long form on folks who are unhoused on Vashon, right? And really doing some first person interviews and digging deep into that community and really telling those stories in, you know, sort of longer form, multi-part pieces. I'd love to read about that. But again, with the caveat that the capacity is increased.
Yeah. What do you think of that, Alex?
I think that's a fantastic idea. I mean, everything mentioned so far, especially the lottery idea, but everything has been great. But no, Amy, you're exactly right. It's historically, that has always been a blind spot for newspapers. It's easier to sit in your chair and call all the people who run a ton of organizations, but there's so much value in getting out and talking to people. So I couldn't agree more. I'd love for us to do that.
Yeah, but it's absolutely capacity, right? Like someone who's writing something for The Atlantic, right, just has that time to go deep and spend that time. And I would love for the Beachcomber to have that kind of capacity. It is a capacity issue, and I just think it would be such a wonderful series.
Yeah, thank you.
Bruce, how about you? Do you have a story you'd love to see?
Actually, probably a couple. And one is sort of a story I don't want to see, and that's sort of the sense of, you know, the potential chaos that we might see with the new president coming in and with some of the ideas that are being thrown around, if you want to call them ideas. But essentially that chaos and the potential of the guardrails of the Constitution and the structure of the American government being tested, that we don't see headlines about that impacting the island, because that's a real possibility, you know, to see ice trucks driving, and I don't mean ice like cold water, but ice trucks, you know, the immigration and service trucks driving down the island, rounding islanders up. I don't want to see those kind of articles. And then on a local level, there's really sort of one article I'd love to see is that, as you talked about, the flowering of healthcare on Vashon Island, it's been a flowering, but the flowers are competing against each other. And I'd love to see an article where the three different competing healthcare organizations get together and develop a comprehensive sort of service to the island. Yeah. So those are my two dreams for headlines.
Try to get those Venn diagrams to,
yes,
to
right.
come together.
To be one circle.
I'm going to remind you that you can stay tuned for that. I think that could be something that I could see Alex potentially or Liz covering.
That latter one has been in, I'm just going to say, it's been in the works for about 5 months now, to give you a sense of how difficult. That has been probably the most difficult story I've worked on here since getting here. There's just really a lot of pieces to it, but we're getting to it. The only thing I would say is I agree with you. It is a competitive and somewhat tense and stressful relationship. I don't think I would say it is for all three. I think Vashon Pharmacy is very much sort of Switzerland in this situation. I don't see them as a I think they are, honestly, I'd love to be Vashon Pharmacy right now. I think they're doing great work. I don't think they're involved in the conflict or in the challenges of delivering healthcare in that way. Right. But yes, we are working on that story.
And so what do you attribute that to, Alex, the main reason that the pharmacy is Switzerland?
Read the Beachcomber. We'll get to it. Okay.
Again, good. How much time you got?
Yeah. I can complex speculate.
Yeah. Yes. Complex. Very okay. complex.
Yeah. As far as I'm concerned, I have a very simple story I'd like to see where Vashon Mori Island becomes the model in the United States for maintaining its unique rural character. It protects its water sources. It increases its energy independence and provides affordable housing, and all the while supports its local businesses, artists, and musicians. Very simple.
Simple. Mm-hmm. one headline. Right?
That's right.
What happens when Truman wins the lottery?
That's right. Just what I was going to say. When Truman wins the lottery, $20 million goes into the free-for-all fund for the Vashon nonprofits. There
that's,
you go.
That sounds like almost a book.
Yeah.
I might get Bruce's help on. I think that gets to the point of this being an incubator and a place where I think the kind of society we all sort of dream of wanting to have, I think there is a model for maybe achieving something like it here.
Mm-hmm. Now, if you could have any alternative facts that you wanted, is there any particular story you'd love to write?
Well, I think we were joking about this earlier, but I find really funny the idea of writing a story announcing that King County has decided they will be building a bridge on Vashon, but it will be connecting Tahlequah with Docton. So, no off island. We're still an island. It's not taking you off anywhere. But as someone who has lived in Tahlequah a long time and had friends on Maury, give us a bridge, but on our own terms. You know,
mm-hmm. I hate to say it, but I used to live in Montana and in Missoula. Well, in several places, but if you wanted to go somewhere, it took you like 10 minutes to get there, 5 minutes, everything was so close. And then I moved to Seattle, and if you want to go anywhere, it's like 45 minutes, right? So now I'm back on the island, I'm used to that 5 to 10 minute thing. The other day I had to go to Maury, and I thought, holy cow, it's a long ways over here. I'm thinking to myself, boy, you're really spoiled.
And we weren't even at the end.
No, I know.
Back down there at the
funny?
Far south end. Yeah, yeah. I know.
Well, in fact, there was some colleagues, they were here on visit from Australia because one of the products we were building. And so they were, relocating for, 2 years to the Pacific Northwest to be working in Kent. And where do we find a place to live? And they were on the internet, surfing around looking for homes, and they found this beautiful spot, waterfront, looked across to Mount Rainier, right on the very south end of Maury Island.
Oh, boy.
I don't think they calculated the commute time from there to the north end. Oh. And then, of course, the rest is well known.
The rest is Amy's bailiwick, yeah.
Yes.
So one idea I've bandied around is, you're familiar with the ducks that they used to, the tourists?
Yeah, absolutely.
So, so those are amphibious. I mean, they are. For safety reasons, they don't run them anymore.
Right.
But, those are amphibious vehicles. You can drive directly onto land from sea. So were I to invest in one of those, I could, and had dock access, you just drive to the dock, get in the water, drive off the dock, go where you want to go.
There you go.
That would save a lot of time otherwise spent waiting for a ferry.
There's a boat launch at Docton. There's a boat ramp at Jensen Point. So you got your commuter going.
Well, while you're dreaming, you could have flying cars. That's all we need.
There's
a bunch of people right? who can't make it through the intersection here in the middle of town.
Oh, yeah.
Flying around.
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, you go. No, you go. Yeah, right.
Well, Alex, it's been a real pleasure having you back and talking about your successes and the hard work that you all put in at the Beachcomber and the things that we look forward to. By the way, let me just, since we have just a few minutes left, let me ask everybody, anybody got an opinion on how to deal with the next year? What kind of state of mind do you recommend?
Alcohol.
good wine and good whiskey.
You're in the same boat, is that right? Anybody got anything maybe a little deeper?
a little more?
No? Go ahead.
Change the little pictures, mm-hmm. right? Just go smaller. Any problem that's too big to tackle, go to the next smaller one and solve that one.
That's good advice.
There you go. I'm always a fan of, there's always a lane open for progress. And in certain lanes closed, certain lanes open. In this state, we just have, you know, one additional member of the Progressive Party in the House and one in the Senate. Of our state legislature, there's possibilities to moving forward. There are certain journalism that helps us move forward, and certain that may distract us. I always ask the question of who is supporting my activism? What news do I need to be able to be more effective? I think activism is an antidote to the concerns that a lot of people have. So hopefully people will find an organization to get involved with, group of friends and folks that they can feel at home with, and be there together.
So good advice.
I hope to see that.
Yeah, I like that. Bruce.
Alex, let me take you back to the newspaper for a minute. and you talked about the news side of the newspaper. Tell us a little bit about and give us some kudos to the folks behind the scenes, the publisher, the folks that get the paper to the printers. I mean, there's a lot of folks that make a newspaper happen. You see the reporters' names on it, but there's a lot of other names that go into making a newspaper. And I think it'd be appropriate to give them a shout out.
Absolutely. Two big names, Darilyn Anderson, who is our publisher, and Patricia Seaman. She's our marketing rep and office manager. Two incredible people who work just as hard as Liz and I do. We're a four-person staff at the paper, so it's a huge amount of work to manage and sell ads and to do the behind-the-scenes work of the paper, so I couldn't thank them enough. And then the other thing is just the incredible amount of contributors we have in our paper. Again, so many gaps are filled, so many things we wouldn't otherwise know about get done, and I shouted out a ton of names in our editorial last week. I encourage everyone to read those, but this is a community paper. This paper only exists because people want it to. I've never worked at any other news outlet that I've gotten so much positive response and love from. People sometimes will ask me, how do you deal with all the criticism on Vashon? And honestly, it's pretty easy. It's mostly love here. And maybe I'm inviting some doom here by saying that, but so be it. I mean, I it's unbelievable how much support we get. So, yeah.
Before I forget, it's almost high noon, which means that it is New Year's in just a few seconds in my old haunt, the Isle of Mauritius.
Oh, yeah.
Which is 12 hours ahead of us, and the Seychelles. And I wanted to say Happy New Year to all my friends in Mauritius, in the Republic of Mauritius. Next week, we've got the Truman Show. Truman, we probably have a thing or two to talk about.
It'll be the day after January 6th, so that'll be interesting to see how that all shakes out. And before I get into that, Alex, I just want to say I hope you have a long, long, illustrious career here on Vashon. We really appreciate the work that you've done and think we are just absolutely the beneficiaries of great, great talent here. And anyway, thank you very much for being here.
No question.
Stick around, please.
Thank you. It's really touching to hear.
I think we all agree on that.
Absolutely.
That's wonderful.
Yes. And about next week, I'm thinking we may take two or the items from Alex's work and talk about them and maybe look forward to some of the new things that we're going to be doing. On the island.
So stay tuned. 11 o'clock next Tuesday.
That's it.
All right. Well, thank you all. We wish you a very happy new year from the Brown Briefly and the Voice of Vashon. And tune in next week.